Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join. Hello everyone, we wanted to offer you a brief introduction to our newest product on the propertymanagementmastermind.com site. It's called the Business Development Toolkit. In 2017, RentWorks organically grew by over 360 plus homes. In 2018, we are on pace to grow another 500 homes. All of this has been without any acquisitions by going out to meet the people and earn the business one at a time. This toolkit will provide you all the marketing materials, business development scripts, and follow-up plans in a format you can modify and use. The biggest part of this toolkit is we give you the Lead Simple follow-up plan. Now, using Lead Simple as your contact resource management platform, combined with implementing our follow-up plan, will give you a launching pad to build your business. This was over 2 years in the making, pulling bits and pieces from the best companies in the industry. It comes with a 100% money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied with this product. Check out our site at propertymanagementmastermind.com to learn more about this new business development toolkit. Hey everyone, in today's episode, I talked to David Tilney, and what we go over is some really interesting stuff with master leasing, the concepts behind it, some of the history of what's going on with it, and how to apply it to what you're doing in the property management world. Really good conversation with David because he is the expert at this stuff, putting on seminars for numerous years, and I was very excited to get him on the show and talk about master leasing because it answers a lot of the questions that we might be looking at when we talk to owners who are fearful of everything. So it's a really good interview, and let's take a listen. And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I am your host, Brad Larson. Very glad to have you here, and it's a special treat to introduce Mr. David Tilney to the audience. And Mr. Tilney and I are going to be talking about master leasing. And so, as I mentioned in the intro, some real quick history here. Mr. Tilney's been around for a long time, 25, 30 plus years, doing master leasing seminars. He's been recommended to me by some of my mentors, Dave Holt, Todd Breen, Kevin Knight, several others in the industry have all recommended listening to him. And so I'm very excited to have Mr. Tilney on. David, how are you today?
I'm terrific, Brad. How are you?
Awesome. So I caught you in where? You're in Colorado someplace?
I am. I just got back to Colorado.
Yeah, because you reside.
We spent 8 months in Naples and to come back, you know, for 4 months here. So just got back last week.
Pretty neat. Pretty neat there, splitting time between Florida and Colorado. Get the best of both worlds there. Awesome. So give us a few minutes about the history of what you've been doing with master leasing and master leasing seminars.
Well, master leasing, I did my first master lease in 1984. I leased a house for 35 years at a fixed rent and secured my lease with a deed of trust. And 10 years later, I was given half the appreciation of the property to remove my lease from the property when we sold it. Master leasing is really where you lease a property from one entity and sublease to another and take a spread out of the middle. It's quite different from property management in that you are not working as an agent of the owner. You don't have a fiduciary responsibility to the owner. The only reason that the owner would do business with you is if you offer them something that is a benefit to them. And then obviously there has to be something left for you. In October 1st of 96, I canceled all of my agency relationships and turned around and leased the properties I used to manage. And I just felt I had more control in that process. To me, the biggest problem I ever had in managing properties were not the tenants, they were the owners. The owners thought they owned the property, and so they wanted to try and tell me what I should be doing with it. They didn't realize that the only thing I had to offer was my time and my expertise, and they had to give me free run. By changing from an agency relationship to a situation where I leased the properties and turned around and subleased them, I had a lot more control with the owners.
That's a big mouthful. So let's back up a little bit, because that's potentially mind-blowing for a lot of property management company owners out there to look at this from a different light. Because what we're doing now is we obviously do the fee-based management. We charge X management fees. We have to report to the owners and we have to deal with the tenants. And so it's kind of everything in between that you've seen in the history of this industry. What you just talked about there is completely a different mindset of doing business.
Right.
And it's something to be covered in more than just a quick 3-minute synopsis or even a 45-minute podcast. This is something that really has to be, you know, you got to dive into it, which is why you created, I think, the seminars, because it's not just one little tidbit. Oh, you just do this and life's different. It's changing a mindset and then all the stuff that goes with it. And so there's going to be questions surrounding. I mean, one of the first questions I would ask if I was a person looking at this model is, who's doing the maintenance and how is that being paid for?
One of the nice things about master leasing is it's not a one size fits all. You really got to find out what the owner's needs are, fill their needs, give them what they need, and see what's left to keep. So, you know, you can lease properties on a fixed basis, which means you guarantee the rent, whether it's vacant or full, to agree to take care of all the expenses up to some kind of a stop loss. Or you can lease things on a performance lease that says, I'll pay you a percentage of what I receive if and when I receive it, and you pay various expenses a la carte. Now, that sounds a little bit like management, but it's not. It's quite different in that a management fee, and these are just numbers for the sake of discussion, where someone might charge a 10% management fee to manage a property. If I agreed to pay 90% of what I collected, if and when I collected it, the net to the owner would essentially look the same, but it would be different in several aspects. Number one, they'd show less income and less expenses. They'd show that they were actively involved in managing their properties because they would not have a management company between themselves and me, which might give them an economic benefit. And of course, they wouldn't be vicariously liable for any of my acts. For example, that if I got hit with a fair housing complaint with one of my subtenants, that should not go through to the owners as long as we set up the paperwork correctly and divulge to all parties that the occupants are dealing with me and with no one else. Does that make sense?
It does. And that's an interesting concept. So it's completely turning things around. We had a recent episode where we talked about master policies for insurance. So it's kind of a similar type concept. We have, for example, what we did here at RentWorks is we have a master policy for tenant liability and renter's insurance to where every tenant that we have into our homes now goes under a master policy that we have. And so they become additionally insured.
Right.
Not completely a apples to apples comparison, but it's the concept of having that one umbrella to where you're dealing with the things underneath you at a different level. It's different than just selling insurance. It's different than selling management. You're actually selling a different concept. And it's really, you know, it's kind of a lot to take in. It's really neat. I can see why people go to seminars all the time on this. And I've heard of people going several times to where there's a lot to take in. You know, their mind's spinning while I'm hearing you talk and my mind is going in 10 different directions. How does that work? How can I set that up? What kind of paperwork do you have? What kind of liability do you got? And all these different things. I can see why the seminars are so popular. And so you've given us kind of a tidbit teaser, and I don't expect the whole thing. There's no way for you to cover what you talk about in one little short podcast, but I do want to hear about the seminars and kind of what you will cover and what people can expect to get out of that. So talk us through some of the seminar stuff you got going on.
Well, I'd like to back up for a second and just mention that master leasing has been involved in the commercial market forever. I mean, and let me just give you some examples because that's where I got my information from initially. You know, if you look from the top down, the biggest situations, you look at places like Hong Kong, that was leased from the People's Republic of China by the Brits for 100 years. Then they subleased to developers who subleased to builders who sold things on land leases for a period of time. You look at hotels, many cases, you know, one entity owns the ground, they lease the ground to another entity that builds a hotel, then the hotel leases the hotel to management, to Sheraton for 10 years, they sublease to a catering company. There's been all kinds of leases for years. I mean, you look at Hawaii, an awful lot of Hawaii is built on land leases that are owned by the Bishop Trust. So, and I kind of started from that approach looking at this. But So I don't want you to think that I'm doing something new and that hadn't been done. It's been done for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. What's different is you haven't seen this take place too much in the single family house market or in the residential market. That's uniquely different. But it really does make sense, I think, in so many ways. You think, for example, nowadays we have more and more regulation in the management business. Many cases, in some states, lawyers have to prepare every individual lease that is signed by a tenant. That's not true. If you are an entrepreneur and you are leasing the property as a tenant, you get to create the documents. The real estate business is one of the true businesses left for entrepreneurs. And if you think about this for a second, you know, Rockefeller talked about control everything, own nothing. And that's, people don't understand the value of a lease. A lease, you can get most of the benefits of ownership of real estate without owning it. And you have less of a target on your back. Think of the folks who bought real estate in the 2006 to 2010 market. Do you think they would have loved to have been able to get out of title on their real estate? Many of them couldn't, and they lost everything they had. If they leased the property instead of bought the property, and they could transfer a lot of the benefits of ownership through a lease, trust me, it's easier to get out of a lease than it is to get out of title. So what do we do in our class? Well, the first thing I tell you is I won't let anyone take my master leasing class unless they first know how to manage. And that means I have a two-day hassle-free property management class. That's really the most important part. If you don't know how to manage, you're really just inventorying property for those of us who do. You'll go through burnout. You just won't survive, as most of the folks that are involved with NARPM know. So we really stress management more than anything else. The master leasing is really the easy part once you got the management down. Yes, you got to twist your mind. Yes, it's a unique concept. But if you just think about this for a second, you take your management contract and you change the title on the top of it to say lease instead of management contract and kind of walk through it, you can create a master lease relatively easily. Now, what have you done if you do that? Think of some of the major benefits to you who is involved with running the property. Well, first of all, you've just changed active income to passive income. That means if you have a fee manager who earns $100,000 of income, net income, compared to an entrepreneur who master leases and has the same $100,000 of income, in one case, the fee manager is going to pay about $31,000 of taxes, whereas the entrepreneur is going to pay about $18,000 and change. What's the difference? Self-employment tax. You've saved 15% in taxes right off the top, even if you just do a performance lease, which the numbers would look very similar to a management agreement. So if you do nothing else but change your contracts around, you've just given yourself a significant increase in your net income. You've also, a lot of managers don't like some of the rules and conditions which are coming down from bureaucrats as to how they must run their business. And you always have, and there is a reason for those bureaucrats. And the reason for the bureaucrats are that while your fiduciary responsibility is to essentially take off your glasses and put on your principal's glasses when you're managing their properties, the potential conflict is that you as a business person want to maximize your business bottom line, and yet you're supposed to be maximizing your principal's bottom line. Well, if you change to becoming a master tenant, all of that goes away because I'm not working for the owner. They're not involved with me. They're leasing to me because there's an economic benefit for them to lease to me. And then I'm turning around and trying to figure out how to make some kind of a profit, either long-term or short-term, by leasing to someone else.
Yeah, and you've been teaching this going on 25, 30 years. Help me out with the math there.
Yeah, it's hard for me to really know. I will tell you, I bought my first rental in 1978. I started managing for other folks in 1981. Why? Because we couldn't find anyone that had the attention to detail and follow through to manage our stuff correctly. And so I essentially failed into the management business and had to learn how to make it work. And then there was no reason not to take on other people's properties to help cover my overhead. And I really enjoy management. I like dealing with tenants. My tenants are absolutely spectacular people. But what we view them differently than a lot of managers. What we think we do more than anything else is we hire someone to do a job. And the person we're hiring is the tenant. And the job description for us is, number one, we want them to maintain and improve the house and grounds. Number two, obviously, we want them to pay the rent on time. And if they're not going to do that, they shouldn't rent from us because we're too tough. Number three, we want them to get along with the neighbors. Number four, I look them in the eye and I say, I want you to stay at least until you die and hopefully until your kids die. We're in the long-term business and we share that. And then what we do that is also a little different is we want our tenants, we really view them as our on-site resident managers. They know more about the houses than we do. We expect them to take responsibility and take care of things. We want to be Johnny on the spot if they need a support group. They need, you know, something happens that they can't solve. But other than that, we expect them to be our on-site resident managers and maintain the houses. And that's worked extremely well for us over the years.
Do you find that they're a little bit less adversarial and more assistive? That's not even a word. They offer more assistance to making sure the house is kept up, making sure they pay rent on time. Do you find it? I mean, because here in our industry, you know, sometimes it's very, you know, button heads a lot with the tenants. I mean, the tenants want one thing and we have to kind of play the middle person. We're the go-between with the owner. And then we get our teeth kicked in because the owner doesn't want to make that, doesn't want to install the golden toilet for you. And then the tenants are mad at us. So you find less of that in what you're doing?
I really enjoy my tenants. I think my tenants enjoy doing business with me. My only eviction was in 1981. It happened to be to evict a urologist out of an upper-end house. It wasn't for non-payment of rent. It was because he was wasting the asset. Our tenants pay all our rents before the first of the month every month. We ACH the rents out of their accounts. It takes me 5 minutes to collect all their rents from wherever I am. I have no employees. There's very few moving parts in my business. I put a Bluetooth in the morning. I take it out at night. I try to answer my phone on the first ring. I don't screen my calls, but I can tell you and a lot of your people listening won't understand this because they're the wrong age group, but I feel like I'm the Maytag repairman. I rarely get a call. My tenants just, they do a great job. Do I ever fail? Do I ever have things go not according to plan? Of course, but every time that happens, I really have to look at myself and do an autopsy on the situation and say, whose fault was it? It was my fault. Something was wrong with my systems. Something was wrong. I either didn't share expectations correctly, the folks didn't have the right skill set, they didn't have the right moral code. Something was wrong that they got the keys to our castle and got in the house, but it was my fault, not their fault.
Hey everyone, this is Allison DeSaro with Seacoast Commerce Bank. You may have heard about us, or you may have even heard my podcast episode with Brad Larson, where we discuss the benefits of banking with property management bank like Seacoast Commerce Bank. We specialize in providing the ideal banking partnership for not only your business, but specifically your trust accounts. In addition, we offer a significant analysis program, which allows us to not only offset your bank fees, but then also offset property management related invoices. You can visit us at our website, or you can call me directly at 619-988-6708.
This is Brad Larson, and I endorse this message. Let's talk business development a little bit as far as how do you go out and find more homes that are willing, more homeowners to are willing to lease to you? How do you do that?
Well, in any situation that someone would be in need of a management company, I've got all the skills those folks, all the tools in my toolbox that those folks have to help that owner that they do and more, because I can physically take out money out of my wallet and start paying them rent to tie up the house. Anyone that has a problem. And so you got to talk to people. Now, I'm pretty lazy. And so I'll be totally honest with you and tell you for myself, most of my business came in word of mouth over time. I started as a fee manager. There's two things you can do, I think, in the property management business. You either take the approach that your Kmart blue light special, give me all your problems. I just can't wait to take them on. just load me up, and you build up as many properties as you can in as short a period of time as you can. And then you start weeding out all the problems as quickly as you can so you don't experience burnout. The other approach is you kind of take the Tiffany approach that says, you know, your house isn't good enough for us. It doesn't meet our requirements. And from my standpoint, I did some other things. I believe in having multiple sources of income streams as you're getting going. And I did own some property. I had previously been and was in when I started the insurance industry. And so I had some insurance commissions that came in. I did sell property management software of all things, and I did support it for a while. And so I could afford to grow slowly initially, and then, you know, you get known that you are a problem solver, that you can square things away. And in many cases, people came to see me to hire me as a manager, and I would spend, it was very difficult because I really wanted to tell them how great our systems were and how they all worked, but I had to bite my tongue and spend a lot of time asking questions about what their situation was and then develop what their problem was. And if Santa Claus came tomorrow, what would Santa Claus look like? Well, I'd really like to sell the property, but I can't make it go away at this point without throwing money at it. Well, throw the money at it, because if you don't, you're not going to like the way it looks a year from now if that's your real goal. And so I would counsel with people, and then after I'd spent as much time as I could, I would share with them kind of how we do operate in our business, how all our rents come in before the first of the month, how we typically, in well over 90% of the time, go from a tenant to a tenant with zero downtime. We have some very unique systems that work for us. And when I got done, people would want to hire me, and I'd say, well, but I'm not for sale. You can't hire me, but we may be able to do business. And then I would ask, essentially, would you like to take the risk and you get the reward if we're doing business together, or would you like me to take the risk and I'll get the reward? And the question would come up, what's the difference? Well, if they take the risk, I would lease their property from them on a performance basis of some kind. Meaning I would pay them a percentage of what I got if and when I got it. If I didn't get anything, I didn't owe them any rent. And they would pay for all the costs a la carte. If I took the risk, then in that case, I would pay them rent, whether it was rented or vacant. I would take care of all the expenses up to some kind of a stop loss. And so I could really look at what the needs were of the owner and really attempt to solve those needs. And we've had some of the same owners we've done business with for 30 years. Now, at this point in my life, I moved to Naples 17 years ago. And so when that happened, I'm no longer building my business. I'm an ender. I'm not a starter. I'm not an estate builder. I'm very blessed, quite honestly. But I have some nice relationships. But if my properties are all in Colorado, and for me not to be there, my business is dwindling with other owners. Why? Because people die, financial situations change, people do sell their houses eventually. The management business, whether you're an entrepreneur building a master leasing business or whether you're a fee manager, you need to constantly keep replacing turnover properties. And I'm really not doing that anymore.
How many units do you currently have under your umbrella?
Very few. I don't think, to me, everyone always asks numbers. I think it's more important to ask, how much income do you get? And I won't tell you that either, but I have enough to support a lifestyle which I like. And you know, when I will say that when I started out in 1978, my goal was to own 10% of 200 properties, meaning have them 90% leveraged, and just breathe oxygen for 30 years and pay them off. And I thought that would be financial freedom. I've come to find that that's not financial freedom, that's financial servitude. I'd much rather have a lesser number of good properties that are free and clear that pump out pretty good income over time.
Makes a lot of sense. And you've earned it too. You've gotten to a point where you did something really well for that long. I do want to hear more, and circling back, more about the seminars, because part of what we do at the Mastermind Show is we offer a page to where people can go in and look at other seminars. You know, we all see the NARPM stuff, but there's other things from PM Grow. There's other things from Robert Kiyosaki, and then you're one of them. And we're adding you or have added you already to the site. So talk us through the seminar, some of the cost, locations, the good stuff, because people are looking at this thinking, this is really neat. I got to go. I got to learn more. And everyone that's gone to one of your seminars has been very impressed and felt it was extremely worth it.
Well, thanks. Some of the information they're going to have to get from my website, because I just don't even pay attention much anymore. I will tell you that we typically do one or at most two seminars a year. We did do one in Tampa, Florida in April of this year. We are doing one in Costa Mesa, California, September 21st, 22nd, 23rd. I think those are the dates. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. In all honesty, I can't remember the exact price. It will be on our website. Okay. We haven't changed it recently. People automatically pay. I think it's a fair price. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of, I just can't remember. I will tell you that we have a pretty significant discount if people pay early enough. Why? Because we lose our room block on our hotel. And we find if we don't have a room block and the room prices go up, that really hurts folks, because most times people do fly into our seminars. And our seminar in Tampa, I think we had representation from 21 different states in April. And that's pretty typical for us. So, you know, you will see once we post it, and it is not posted at this point in time, but we did tie up a hotel. We have paid a deposit. I do know we will be there. I think, again, it should be September 21st, 22nd, and 23rd in Costa Mesa, California.
So people can try to track down the next one or two, because you do one or two seminars a year. Just kind of keep checking back to the website. It's davidtilney.com. And they can check it out there as far as the seminars, the details, the cost, and then they can sign up online. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we never have more than one seminar up there at a time. Because at this stage, you know, when you start out in business, you want to trade your time for someone's money. And at some point in time, you want to trade your money for something, for time. And I'm getting to that point. I mean, I'm 67 years old and there's still places I want to go, things I want to see. And so, you know, I love teaching. I hate marketing the seminars, but as long as people want to come, and you said before, people come back, they do come back, mm-hmm. and they bring other folks. And why do they come back? Because they're at a different point when they come the second time. You know, the first time, as you said, it is quite unique. I do try and bend them a little bit as to how they view things. And so after they've left and tried it, I mean, we don't want people to go to my seminar, end up with a big manual that becomes a great big bookend on their bookcases. If they're not going to implement and use it, last thing we want them to do is to come. But we think it's a great way to build up an income stream. It's what we've told our kids to do. We've seen it change lives. We've seen a lot of people go into this. And it really, I don't think there's anything better than being an entrepreneur. Where, you know, if you've figured out how you can be an entrepreneur and not someone else's employee, and you're able to support yourself, I don't know anyone who's ever gone back. It's too much fun.
Very exciting to hear.
You're going to work harder probably, but you have a great time.
Very exciting to hear about that. I think people are going to be very intrigued and want to sign up. I think it's going to be one I put on the books for probably next year. September's a busy month, but definitely the times after that. And I'll try to catch someone in Florida. I'm a Florida fan versus a California fan, but what do I know? Maybe I can play some golf when I'm there.
I'm getting a little long in tooth, just to let you know. So you don't know how many more years we'll be doing this, but no, we've done it. I think this is the 28th year.
Good. I would say don't stop, because it's a it's a needed resource that's out there. People want to know and learn about this. And I'm sure you're seeing all generations come to these seminars. It's not just the young and up and coming entrepreneur. You're seeing all ages, I'm imagining.
That's absolutely true. I mean, we have some people 65 years and older. We also have some very astute property owners. We've had people that have owned 50 houses who've come. So it's not just for fee managers. It's not just for owner operators. It's for all of the above, but it is a different mindset.
Appreciate it. And so also last thing, if they offer the discount code BRAD, Brad, you're able to offer a little bit better on the pricing. Is that correct?
I'm delighted to give them the multi-registration discount. So we give a little extra benefit for two or more people registering together for your group if they use that code, and we'll have to put that on there. So if anyone registers and finds out it doesn't work, both my cell phone and my email is available on the website. They can give me a heads up, and we can sure make sure that's taken care of.
Oh, I appreciate that. That gives them a little bit of a discount, you know, a little bit of an incentive sure. to the show. They can drop that. And so I hope a lot of people found this episode. It's a running information episode to where we learn about the David Tilney process. And it's just a tidbit, gang. This is not enough to go out and actually execute it, because it's just enough to make you dangerous, as they say. It's kind of like getting one lesson in karate. You're really going to need a lot more before you go out and exercise what you're doing. So I would encourage everyone to look into this further and actually go to the site and then sign up for a seminar and get your, you know what, to one of his seats to learn more about the master leasing, because I think this is a game changer and kind of the mindset concept. And if nothing else, if you never apply anything that you learn, at least you understand the concept out there, because someday it may become very relevant in a situation. One of the quick side story. So I was talking to Stephen Foster, who is prior president of NARPM. Right. I think you know him.
I sure do.
Good guy. I had this crazy idea one time, and we were going to create our own maintenance warranty, right? Our own home maintenance warranty in-house to our company that we're going to guarantee we're going to do everybody's maintenance in a certain way, just like those home warranty companies do, right? It's a real kind of a hokey concept. We're thinking we can just create that in-house. And I started talking to Stephen Foster about this, and he's like, why would you do that? If the owner is so risk adverse, so afraid of their own shadow for maintenance, master lease it. And it just floored me. I took a step back. I'm like, you're absolutely right. How do I do that? He says, go to your seminar. That's what he told me to do. But it plays right along those same lines. If you find that owner who's so risk adverse, they're afraid of their own shadow for everything that's going to pop up inside of a lease agreement, master lease it somehow. Make them an offer, pull out a contract, and you sign that thing up. And then you can turn that into a profit center to where you're the entrepreneur. You can control the asset and then figure out what to do with it from there.
Well, can I mention one thing real quick? Many property managers own rentals themselves. Some don't. And they don't know quite how to get started because they don't have a lot of capital. This is a way to get your foot in the door. It's a way to tie up a property. The real estate business is a people business. And if you can tie up a property and underpromise and overperform, and it gives you time to whittle and rock and talk to owners, and think about it, it's almost like you get to test drive the house and drive it around the block, because ultimately that house will be sold at some point in time. And if you've done a great job, you've created that rapport, and the owner now is out of state, who's he going to want to deal with? Who's he going to probably be willing to finance? There are so many benefits of this approach. And for people who don't have, you know, $500,000 cash in the bank that they can tie up a whole bunch of properties, I just don't know a better way to produce income right out of the box and ultimately end up in ownership if you choose to.
I agree with you. It's a great technique, and I'm very curious to learn more, and I'm sure a lot of people are as well. Wanted to thank you again, David, for coming on. This has been an excellent episode. People are very intrigued to hear about you. I've been hearing about you for a long time, being around the industry from the names I've mentioned. Super excited to be able to talk with you. Wanted to thank you again for coming on.
Well, thank you, Brad. I really enjoyed it.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org, again, propertymanagementsystem.org, and to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.